One of the surprising results of the recently concluded Olympics in London was the high placement achieved by Team Great Britain. Third place, just behind the eventual champion, the United States, and runner-up China, garnering 29 gold medals. The British athletes must have surprised even themselves. Now, let's give credit to the training of the athletes themselves. But without doubt, one important factor for that was they were playing in their own country. They had what is known in sports as home advantage. Sila ay may kalamangan sapagkat naroon sila sa mismong kanilang home turf. At with the home crowd cheering for the athlete, it multiplies motivation. They are primed for achievement. And this is what we expect by being in home turf. The greatest disappointment is when home turns against you. When the home crowd, instead of cheering you, are jeering at you. And it takes a lot of maturity for any athlete to maintain his composure in the face of that. Now, this is exactly what Paul found himself in as he dealt with the church in Corinth. This is a church that he founded. He sacrificed a lot to minister to this church. You can say that this was, in many ways, his home church. He loved this church, and then it turned against him. Ang iglesia sa Corinto ay minahal ni Pablo. Siya ang nagtatag dito bilang instrumento ng Diyos. Subalit dumating ang panahon na ang iglesia ay lumaban kay Apostol Pablo. This is due to his enemies. And yet, fortunately, when he sent a severe letter through Titus, the majority of the church repented. But there remains this adamant few who continue to be against him. And this is the nature of the last section of the letter to the second letter to the Corinthians, which is our series. This is a section that demonstrates very admirably the maturity of the Apostle Paul. Paul draws the real contrast between him and the opponents whom he dubbed as super apostles. Paul is the true apostle. This is authenticated by the signs and wonders of the true apostle, which are present in him, not in the super apostles. And yet, many ways, this choice between the true and the super still dictates the difference between maturity and immaturity. Kapag nasa gitna ka ng alin ang totoo, alin ang magaling, ay madalas yung mga immature ay nakumikiling sa magaling kaysa hinahanap ang totoo. At itong sinasabi ni Pablo, this is a test of maturity. Would you choose true over super? In many ways, what Paul was as true apostle against his opponents, super apostles, was the challenge to the mature. The mature should stand on genuine apostolic authority, not on the super, not on authoritative personalities. And many issues that will challenge our maturity are clashes between the true versus the super. And that's what Paul challenges the church to do. And yet, how is Paul able to still deal with this church after so many disappointments from this church? We saw that in our last message. The mature conceives his supreme motive in the sight of God as he deals with brethren. Sa harap ng Diyos, yan ang pangunahing nagdidikta at humuhubog ng motibo ng isang may maturidad, ginagawa niya sa harap ng Diyos. But what if you have also to deal with brethren? And of course, we have to deal with brethren. And when we face those brethren and we find sin, this is another test of maturity. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20, and we'll read through chapter 13, verse 2. 2 Corinthians 12, 20 through 13, verse 2. For I fear that perhaps when I come, I may find you not as I wish, and that you may find me not as you wish. That perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder. I fear that when I come again, my God may humble me before you, and I may have to mourn over many of those who sinned earlier and have not repented of the impurity, sexual immorality, and sensuality that they have practiced. This is the third time I am coming to you. Every charge must be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. I warned those who sinned before and all the others, and I warn them now while absent, as I did when present on my second visit, that if I come again, I will not spare them. Now, this is one of those portions of the Bible where the chapter division is uncalled for. Tandaan natin, yung mga chapter divisions and even the verse divisions are not in the original, and we cannot consider them inspired. While in the vast majority, they are very helpful. In others, they are confusing and they miss the point. And here is one case. It should continue because Paul is saying the same thing as in the 12th chapter, moving on to chapter 13. So while we are serving in the sight of God, we will have to deal with brethren in the face of their sins. And Paul warns them as he prepares for his third visit. He uses here quite a challenging word. I would not spare anyone. Now that he has proven his apostolic genuineness, he will now act as an apostle with authority over churches. That's what's granted to the apostles. This is not something democratic as far as the apostles are concerned. No, pastors are not apostles. We need some democracy in the decisions of the church. But this is the Apostle Paul, and he needs no democratic vote as far as this decision is concerned. Now that he has proven that he's the true apostle, unless they repent when he makes his third visit, he will be unsparing in his correction. But even as he delivers this warning, he demonstrates that maturity, which is essential in this delicate concern. This is my message. The mature deals with sins in the church in the right corrective disposition. Ang may maturidad ay tinatrato ang mga kasalanan sa iglesia na may tamang diwa ng pagtutuwid. The mature deals with sins in the church in the right corrective disposition. Now, notice again, I attach the adjective right to corrective disposition because there is something wrong. There can be something wrong in our corrective disposition. We may want to correct, but in a wrong spirit and in a wrong way. And here, Paul is demonstrating his maturity. He is now announcing his third visit. You can sense the tension even as he announces that he is now visiting them. There will surely be a confrontation, and Paul will not relent from that confrontation. But he is maintaining maturity. Sa kanyang ikatlong pagdalaw na ito, may tensyon na at tiyak na magkakaroon ng harapan at hindi tatalikod si Pablo sa harapang ito. Ngunit sa kabila nito, pinapanatili ni Pablo yung kanyang maturidad sa kanyang disposisyon na magwasto, magtuwid. And you and I will also be faced with this situation. We can be immature. The immature relents, or else the immature explodes when faced with such a confrontation. Here, Paul demonstrates his maturity in three ways. First, realistic, always about conflicts. May realidad siya sa mga alitan. Realistic always about conflicts. Secondly, sympathetic even towards offenders. May simpatiya kahit sa mga nagkakamali. And thirdly, specific, plainly upon issues. Tuwiran sa mga hinaharap na usapin. So the first thing that shows maturity when one has to face a confrontation is be realistic. Realistic always about conflicts. Listen to Paul. Perhaps when I come, I may find you not as I wish, and that you may find me not as you wish. Such is the state of the church in Corinth, and the stubbornness of the enemies of Paul, that Paul is preparing for this eventuality, that when he visits the church, he sees people he doesn't wish they were in that condition, and those people will see him in a condition that they would not wish. The brethren will not always be what you wish, and you will not always be as the brethren wish. That's the simple point. Maturity, you see, is tested in understanding and handling of conflicts between brethren in the church. Masusubok yung maturidad sa pag-unawa at pagtrato ng mga alitan sa pagitan ng mga kapatiran sa iglesia. The most important truth to remember in order to understand the occurrence of conflicts is the very simple and very obvious truth. We are sinners. Makasalanan pa rin tayo. Redeemed sinners, yes. Sinners who are struggling to overcome sins, yes. But sinners nevertheless. And when sinners dwell together, expect clashes. They are bound to transpire inevitably. So be realistic like Paul. Now you see, the immature, without this understanding, will be disappointed to the point of withdrawal. Ito yung walang maturidad. Pag may sumiklab na alitan, hindi siya handa. At kalimitan, dahil sa kanyang disappointment, tumatalikod. He withdraws, umaalis. Withdrawal, avoidance are the immature ways of handling conflicts between brethren. The realistic is to accept that I may be what you do not wish and you are what I do not wish. The immature is saying to keep our company, understand my imperfections, but be perfect for me. Ganyan yung immature. Gusto ko na kayo ay kung anong gusto ko, pero hayaan yung minsan, hindi ako yung gusto nyo. So, understand my imperfections, but better be perfect for me. They will not state that way, but because of the attitude, that's just the same. So be realistic, have a spirit of realism concerning the present state of believers, which means conflicts happen. If you want a company without conflicts, go to heaven. But as long as you are in the church, expect clashes among sinners who are but partially redeemed. Do not take the position taken by the immature. I will absent myself from the assembly until this conflict is settled my way. That's the height of immaturity in the face of sins. Kapag sasabihin mo, liliban ako sa pagtitipon hanggang maayos yan, pero gusto nila maayos sa kanilang kagustuhan. And that is not the right attitude. That is not the mature attitude. So be realistic. Know why these conflicts happen. It has been established what caused the severe flooding in the metropolis. There are many causes, among them informal settlers. Now, how do you deal with them? You cannot just blast them. What do you do with these people? Well, you have to understand and be realistic about the needs of these people, while at the same time, understand that they are causing such calamity. So use conflict instead to fashion the graces that it challenges, both for the sides of the offender and the aggrieved. Both sides of the conflict, in other words. Gamitin natin yung alitan upang hubugin ang biyaya na hinahamon sa magkabilang panig. Itong iwasan natin, itong nangyayari sa walang maturidad, ang nangyayari ay ang kagustuhan lang niya ay to be vindicated. That's the immature way. Simply seek to be vindicated, win his side. Listen to this from the Apostle Paul. chapter 7, verse 12 of the same letter. So although I wrote to you, it was not for the sake of the one who did the wrong, nor for the sake of the one who suffered the wrong, but in order that your earnestness for us might be revealed to you in the sight of God. That's the mature way. It's not all about who did the wrong. It's not all about who suffered the wrong. To us, in an immature way, we immediately draw the line, guilty and victim, and I'll be on the side of the victim. Well, that's not what Paul says. Neither, he says, for the sake of the one who did the wrong, nor for the sake of the one who suffered the wrong. Not a one-sided prejudice. What then is Paul's concern? Provoked the grace of earnestness. He was after a grace to fashion. That's the mature way of dealing with it. Kapag nasa alitan ka na, gitna ng alitan, napakadali talagang isipin, paano ko ba maipapakita yung mali niya? At paano ko maipapakita ang tama ako? Now, of course, when you are in a conflict, you will defend your side, seek vindication. That's exactly 2 Corinthians. Paul is vindicating himself. Paul is exposing the super apostles. But transcending the issue of who is guilty and who is victim, there is a grace to learn. And the mature will ask, what is the Lord wanting me to fashion for my sanctification out of this conflict? Conflicts are then easier to reconcile where there is an overarching concern to be sanctified by it. Two of the greatest men in history, contemporaries, had a falling out, and you have heard me say of this conflict between George Whitefield and John Wesley. If you read the accounts, both have wrongs, but that's beside the point. Both are holy men that in their conflict, very sharp conflict, where exchange of letters happened with sharp words exchanged, yet the overarching concern of both men is the grace or the graces that they need to develop. And they reconciled. And in the end, George Whitefield died first. John Wesley preached the funeral sermon as agreed. Probably if John Wesley died first, it would have been George Whitefield. You see, the men who have maturity, when they face conflict, because of that realism. Inaasahan nila, hindi yung nagugulat sila na nangyayari pa ang alitan sa gitna, sa pagitan ng mga mananampalataya. Realistic always about conflicts. But then secondly, sympathetic even towards offenders. Again, listen to Paul. He says, I fear that when I come again, my God may humble me before you, and I may have to mourn over many of those who sinned. He could have just said, "Manumanda kayo. I'm going to scold you to kingdom come." Well, he says, when I come to you, I will mourn. It takes maturity to exercise gracious sympathy in the case of sinning brethren. Kailangan ng maturidad upang magkaroon ng simpatya sa kaso ng mga kapatid na nagkakasala. Now, by sympathy, I do not mean that we just condone the sins of others. And Paul is not doing that here. But rather than look down on the offender, use his offense for contempt and condemn, Paul felt low. In fact, other commentaries understand humbled here to mean humiliate. He would feel humiliated because Corinth, after all, is the result of his ministry. And then he would mourn for them. By sympathy, I simply mean what was said of Jesus in Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. What sort of weaknesses does Jesus as high priest sympathize with? One who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. The weaknesses in view here are weaknesses towards sin, weaknesses of temptation. And Jesus does not treat his children with such weaknesses with contempt, nor does he condemn them. Or listen to Paul's instruction in Galatians 6:1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Not in a spirit of scolding. And it says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The burden in view is the burden of sin. We have mutual need as far as this is concerned. And this is very mature of Paul. After all, he is the victim here. Si Pablo ang biktima dito ng mga masasamang salitang binitiwan itong mga super apostles. But he would still mourn over the guilty. He would not want his visit to result in destruction, total destruction of relation. I'm now reading a book about Lincoln, and the title of the book is Team of Rivals. It refers to the fact that during the presidential campaign, he had very serious, in fact, the campaign went so sharp that they criticized each other. There were three of them who were aspiring for the presidency. In the end, Lincoln was voted as president, and to the surprise of many, he chose his two opponents as members of his team, of his cabinet. And we know that Lincoln is considered today one of the greatest presidents of the United States. And that is because he could transcend conflicts, and those who wronged him, he could treat with sympathy and even make them members of his team. Eh kung sa atin, sa immature yun, huwag ka nang magpapakita. Ayoko nang makita ang anino mo. Pagkatapos ng ating ating alitan, hindi ganun ang attitude ng mature. How do we do that? Well, like Paul, I challenge us all. Do not miss out on God, even in times of hurtful offenses. The humbling Paul attributes to the act of God. God may humble me before you. He saw the place of God, that even in the conflict, God was there. God did not turn the other way. That's why Paul got hurt. All along, Paul understood that God was active. And when you are hurt by someone, a especially painful one, think of God having permitted it for a reason. You will then not yield to emotion. Oh, and there's so many emotions in times of pain. I'll get back at him. Rather, Lord, what would you have me do? I have no doubt that one influence on Paul was Stephen. Remember Stephen? Paul was the one who had instigated the killing of Stephen. And yet, as he was watching the clothes of those who were stoning Stephen, we read it in Acts 7:60. He must have heard those words of Stephen, Lord, do not impute this sin on their account. And then he died. I wonder how many nights those words haunted Paul. As he was stoning this man, as he was instigating the stoning of this man, the prayers on his lips were one of forgiveness, one of sympathy for those who were stoning him. And now he has his chance, he will have the same attitude. After Jonathan Edwards was excommunicated, which I often tell you about, do you know that he still accepted invitation from the church that excommunicated him? He would still preach to them. He was still thinking of their good. Again, sa atin yun, sino ka? Patak pagkatapos ng ginawa mo. Walang ganong attitude si Paul. So we have here sympathetic, even towards offenders, and finally, specific plainly upon issues. Specific plainly upon issues Paul was visiting with intent on correcting and discipline where necessary, and how would he do it? This passage has a lot of specifics. And maturity discerns specific issues in dealing with the sins of the brethren. He mentions specific offenses, including relational offenses as well as immoralities. He is not making a third visit to Corinth just to start trouble and vindicate himself without issue. He knows the issues. He knows the people involved with issues. He lays them down very plainly. You see, conflicts complicate and perpetuate no end when there are no specifics in mind. This is one of the things I require in personal counseling. If a person will come to me, seek my counsel, I want specific discussion. If he wants to be vague and general, I may give him a reading material, but don't seek my counsel if you don't want to be specific. Because dealing with issues must be specific. If you have to correct a sinning believer, name the sin. You can't deal with a believer simply with animosity without a serious and specific case of sin. Name the sin. And when you name the sin, is it a matter worth creating issue about? Some sins, Peter tells us, and the book of Proverbs tells us, by compassion cover a multitude of sins. Not worth creating trouble about. But when there is a sin, you must be specific and then face it. One of the biggest personal blows on George Washington in the birth years of America when he was leading the war against Britain. One of the most hurtful personal blows on George Washington was when one of his generals and a very personal close friend, Benedict Arnold, betrayed the cause, joined the British forces. And it was a blow on George Washington, but he saw clearly the issues. And he had him censured. Benedict Arnold today is a name in American history that is synonymous with treachery. But George Washington became a great man because he could handle personal blows in a mature way. At ito ang hamon sa atin. Take biblical steps, invoking due authority when you have to deal with the sinning. Here Paul cites an Old Testament rule. Every charge must be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. Now, there is, of course, the likelihood that Paul is preparing for a formal exercise of discipline where two or three witnesses will become formal witnesses. There is a leaning of interpretation that what Paul is saying is that his first and second visit, now with his third visit, will constitute due authority for him as an apostle. In other words, with his first, second visit, now with a third visit, it will complete the justification for whatever apostolic decision he was going to make. Remember the first visit, foundation of the church. Second visit, break up between Paul and his enemies. Now the third visit will complete the whole picture. But whatever it is, the point is, he is invoking due authority. You cannot address sin properly and with maturity unless you do so with due authority and invoking biblical steps. By saying that this is now the time to spare no one, He is saying that he has shown and restrained himself enough. He did not overreach, but the point has come to act. And Paul, as an apostle, will now invoke his apostolic authority with a right to discipline. May example niyan sa 1 Timothy chapter 1 tungkol kay Hymenaeus na sinabi niya, I delivered him to Satan. That's an apostolic prerogative of discipline. Now, Paul repeats here, I warned them now. And then the firm resolve, having been warned, and now I'm warning them at my third visit, I will not spare. You see here, the exercise of apostolic authority, but always attended with mature patience. And how we need this for the church. For the church, it is biblical authority that we use, but always exhausting the gentle way to correct. And if they would not have it settled in the biblical way, this is when we leave it to God to vindicate His own name. I told you of the last controversy Spurgeon had just before he died. In 1897, he exposed the liberalism that was then afflicting the Baptist Union, his own association. He wrote an editorial in his church magazine in which he accused there is a downgrade in the Baptist Union. And that controversy came to be known as the downgrade controversy. In the process, Charles Spurgeon was voted out of the association. A man who was proving himself faithful and yet voted out by friends. He wrote this in another editorial of his church magazine. I am willing to be eaten by dogs now, but future generations will vindicate me. What he meant was, they can do what they want to do to me. I have tried everything. I have done what should be done, and they refuse to listen. Let God do the rest. And this is also maturity. Now, is there something that you need to exercise maturity about concerning someone in the face of his or her sin? In the face of sin, there the mature will stand out. We need the mature in our church. Our last hymn, it is a hymn that owns our proneness to going astray, a proneness that needs mature brethren to correct. And so when a mature brother or sister approaches you for such a corrective confrontation, thank the Lord for providing you a mature correction for your sin. And it begins with the admission how prone we are to going astray. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, tulad ng aming inawit, we go astray when we walk alone. Kailangan namin ng mga kasama, ng mga kapatiran, at dinisenyo mo ang iglesia na tulad ng mga kapatirang nagwawastuhan, ngunit pagwawastuhan na may maturidad. Bigyan mo kami ng ganitong uri ng iglesia. Grant that we may learn to imitate the maturity that Paul demonstrates in the face of the sins of those he called brethren. And we need maturity of corrective disposition. We pray then that we may be realistic always about conflicts. The church on earth will not be without conflicts because we are still sinners. And therefore, maturity demands that we be realistic. When conflicts happen, it is not the end of the church, but rather a challenge to maturity of handling conflicts in a right way with realism and at the same time with the desire to be of influence on the correction of others. And to this end, we must be sympathetic even towards offenders. It takes a lot of maturity to do so, especially when we perceive ourselves to be the victims, the ones hurt. And yet the Apostle Paul, the one who really was the victim, the one who was most hurt, yet could see even in his hurt the active presence of God. So help us not to miss out on God when we are hurt, and that we may seek the grace that we need to fashion when we are in the face of sin and in the face of conflict. Help us also to be specific plainly upon issues, not to simply seek our own personal vindication, but that we must correct, and when we correct in a biblical way, we know the issues, we know the sins, we know the people, and the issues warrant correction that will glorify you rather than blur issues. So grant, Lord, that all this will enable us to test our own maturity, for this is a test of real maturity when we have to deal with sins among the brethren. May you grant our church such status and level of maturity that we are able to deal with each other's sins in a manner that is for correction, to your glory, and to our profit. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.